tonight we're going to talk about Lag BaOmer. I think the title of the shiur was Institution and those who contested Lag BaOmer. There are a lot of fascinating things about the day. I'd like to start with the Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles, who, by the way, Lag BaOmer is the yahrzeit of Rav Moshe Isserles. Rav Moshe Isserles died at the age of 33. He died on day 33, and he wrote 33 books. And there's one other interesting fact about Rav Moshe Isserles. Oh, I know. Forgetting now. There's another interesting fact about Rav Moshe Isserles. Okay, I'm blanking. Nonetheless, this is tomorrow.
Rav
Moshe Isserles, the 1500s. Can you imagine how much he accomplished in 33 years? Not bad. Okay, the Ramah makes the following comment that is very, very rich with content behind it. The Ramah here mentions, it's in Taf Tzad Gimel, Biyom Lamed Gimel, on the 33rd day, Mar Bimbo Ktsas Simcha. We increase a little bit with joy. Vein Omrim Bo Tachlim. We do not recite Tachlim. So the word that we are marbim b'simcha, reminiscent of mishnechnas adar marbim b'simcha. Here we're not marbim completely with simcha. It says we're marbim ktsas. We load up a little bit with simcha. Now, what's interesting is that very rarely do you see in the Talmud or in any halacha codes that a Jew is charged to be happy. You know, ivdu as Hashem b'simcha is a mitzvah. And we're said, Tachas Asher Lo, Varetes Hashem Lokim Lachem B'Simcha. We're supposed to serve God with joy. But not so common in the book of Halacha to say that you should be add joy. So clearly, tomorrow night, Wednesday night, which is Lag BaOmer, we have to understand what is this Ribui Simcha, what is happening on this day that requires a greater level of joy. The classic reason that Rishonim bring, I include in that list the Meiri, I include in that list the Maharil, I include in that list Rabbi Isaac Miturna. Those are all Rishonim. Two of them are German. They all say that the reason for the Simcha of Lag BaOmer is because the Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva stopped dying. They died for 33 days, and there are two ways to understand what the Ramah means that they stopped dying. There are two possibilities. Either they actually stopped dying post day 32, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it on the Gaon, that they actually stopped dying after 32 days. Day 33 was the end of the death sentence. That's one way to understand. A second way to understand is quite different. This, I believe, somebody mentioned last week. But if you take 49 days of the Omer, subtract 17 days from that 49, you come out with 32. Now, why am I subtracting 17? 7 days is Shabbos. 7 times 7 is 49. There's 7 Shabbosim in the 49 days of the Omer. Subtract the 7 days of Pesach. That's 14. 3 days of Rosh Chodesh. 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Iyar. 1 day of Rosh Chodesh Sivan, you come out with 17. The Kabbalah is that the students of Rabbi Kiva died throughout Pesach until Shavuot. That's what Gemara says in Sechaz Yivamos, Dav Samach Beis, that they died from Pesach until Shavuot, minus those 17 days they didn't die on. So therefore, you come out with 32, and on day 33, we have particular amount of joy on that day. Now note, even those who keep the second half of the sphere that we discussed, if you start on Rosh Chodesh Iyar until Shavuot, even those people keep the second half of the Sfira, they still nonetheless are joyous and happy on Lag BaOmer itself. So there is an element of complete happiness on Lag BaOmer, whether you keep the first half of the Sfira or whether you keep the second half of the Sfira. Either way, it is a joyous day. That's one way to understand, like I said, the classic way to understand why it is that we're happy on that day. However, the Pri Charash, a classic commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, asks a very basic question. He says, is that a reason to be happy because they stopped dying? 24,000 Talmidim, 12,000 pairs of students in Rabbi Kiva died. That's to be happy about? What are we proud about? What are we happy about? That doesn't sound like something you jump for joy about. You finish sitting Shiva, you finish sitting Shloshim, you finish Yud Beis Chodesh. You're not happy. You're not joyous. It's a level. It's a step, but that's not a reason to be happy. So that's the Pre-Chadish's question. He suggests a whole different approach as to the Simcha of Lag BaOmer is because Rabbi Akiva started afresh. He started with 5 new students, and it's from those 5 students that the Torah ultimately, Torah Shebaal Peh, emanated from generation to generation to generation to generation. And as a result of those 5 students that Rabbi Akiva had, he was able to start Torah, Jewry, and restart Torah, and restart Torah Shabbat Peh again, it's as a result of those Talmidim, and that's the joy that he had of giving them smicha and starting with them all over again. That's why we're happy on Lag BaOmer.
They survived.
They survived. They started all over again.
Were they five survivors or new students?
They were new students. New students. Good question. That's a pre-Chadosh's suggestion. There is yet a third suggestion to the joy of Lag BaOmer, and this is suggested by the Gra. And two very cryptic comments. The Gra refers you to a Gemara at the end of Maseches Tainis. What happens at the end of Maseches Tainis? The Gra refers to the Gemara that says that over the 40 years that the Jews were in the Midbar, the Chazal tell us, Rashi quotes it in the end of Maseches Tainis, that every single year and every single day, Jews died in the Midbar. You know what they would do? They would dig a grave, they would go into the grave, and they would decide and see on Tisha B'Av whether or not they would die or whether or not they would survive. If they survived, they came out. If they died, they stayed in their coffin. This is what Chazal said. And every single year, this is what happened, and the Jews continued to die for 39 years. Came the 40th year, they continued to do the same thing, and lo and behold, they came out, and they were alive. So they figured they made a mistake, they went in again, they came out alive, and lo and behold, they recognized... This is one of you'll hear in a second. And it turned out they did this for numerous days until Tesvav Ba'av, the 15th day of Av, and they said, must not be a mistake, it must be the 40-year decree is finished, and as a result the Jews left, and that's why the Gemara says, on Tu B'Av is the happiest day of the Jewish calendar, as well as Yom Kippur is also the happiest day of the Jewish calendar, because it's the day of Slicha Mechila we have and receive atonement, and as a result of the joy that the Jews stopped dying and the 40 years in the wilderness were finished, therefore we dedicated a happy day on Tu B'Av. What the Gra says is that you see from there that you also, when people stop dying, it's also a joyous day. And just like the Gemara instituted a happy day, Tu B'Av, Shimon got married and Shira got married on Tu B'Av. They could only get married on Tu B'Av. It's such a happy day.
This is correct.
So there you have it. We can add that to the list of Chazal, that on Tu B'Av...
No, she's not into this. When she's pregnant, there's a baby getting born in Tu B'Av, she says, then it'll be a month later. I couldn't.
So there you have it. Tu B'Av is a happy day because Jews stopped dying. So as a result, the Vilna Gaon says that you can be happy as a result of the students of Rabbi Akiva stop dying. Those are the first three reasons that are suggested as the simcha of what the simcha of Lag BaOmer is. But it's the fourth reason that is the most contentious, that is the most celebrated, and is the most hotly debated. And that is a reason to be found in later sources originally, and then in earlier sources, which are really earlier. The first, or the late, classic code to quote this reason is the Chayyadim and the Aruch HaShulchan. Rav Avram Danzig and Rabbi Chil Michal Epstein, each of them in their classic works, Chayyadim and Aruch HaShulchan, mention that today, tomorrow night, Lag BaOmer is the evening, or the day, that Rav Shimon ben Yochai, the great Tana, passed away and died. And as a result of the death of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, one would imagine that would be a time to be sad. It would be a time to contemplate. It would be a time to daven for the Yomot, as we do today. But instead, what has taken place over the centuries, and there is a lot of literature written about this, Lag BaOmer has become a festive day. Now, what are some of the festive things that take place, and why do those festive things take place? So in the Zohar, it says that Rav Shimon ben Yochai understood that upon his passing it would be a great holiday because at that point he'd be able to reveal the hidden parts of the Torah, what we know as the Zohar Kadosh, as the Idra, the Jerabra, Jezuta, and the aspects of Kabbalah that have become revealed. And Rav Shimon ben Yochai kept that day to be very long, almost like Yeshua, where Shemesh begivon dom v'yerech v'yerech ayalon, that the sun didn't set. And as a result, Rav Shimon ben Yochai created a day that was longer than the actual time period. And the simcha of that day, when the hidden Torah was revealed, became a joyous day. Rav Shimon ben Yochai's death and the day that he deceased became a happy day for Klal Yisrael. Now, if you look and if anybody's ever been to Meiron, or if you've seen pictures or videos, audios or videos of what take place, so you will see that this day has become something extraordinary, celebratory. I think statistics have it today that 100,000 Jews plus head to Har Meron, up to Mount Meron, the very tall apex climb, the mountain of Meron, and Jews go there. Now, what do they do there? So there are a number of things that they do. You find that there are four things that take place on that day. The first thing is that Jews actually go visit the kever of Shimon Bar Yochai and his son, Rebbe Elazar, who are buried almost next to each other. The second thing that is noted, or that takes place, is that they burn meduros, that they build bonfires and torches. There are customs from great rabbis who also burn clothing, and we will talk about why they exactly they burned clothing, what the custom for that is. There is customs to cut a three-year-old boy's hair. That also takes place on Lag BaOmer, another event. And the question is, why are we doing all these things, and where do they come from? So there are numerous sources that point to this. The earliest, or one of the classic sources, and this can be found here in the Shari Tshuva, says that Chaim Vital quotes that his Rebbe, the Arizal, took his son on Lag BaOmer to actually cut his hair next to the kever of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. That's what it says. Now, what is so unique about Reb Shimon Bar Yochai? Who was Reb Shimon Bar Yochai? Why did he create such a fascination? Why did people for generations begin to head to the kever of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai? As a result of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai revealing the Hidden Torah and writing, and he actually didn't write many of the things that are reported in his name were written by his Talmidim, not Reb Shimon Bar Yochai himself, but nonetheless, a lot of the classic literature of Kabbalah essentially comes from the teachings of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Now, the reason for lighting the flames, some suggest, is that you're aware that there's a Gemara in Shabbos, happens to be on Daf Lamed Beis and Lamed Gimel, of all pages in the Talmud, that tells a story about when Reb Shimon Bar Yochai emerged from the cave. And when he emerged from the cave, he saw people engaging in mundane work, and after spending so much time in a cave and being so entrenched and creating such a relationship with Hashem, he saw people tilling and mowing and doing such regular agricultural activity. Through his eyes, he burnt them to death. And that's when God told him he has to go back into the cave. He's not ready to mingle and to deal with people. And as a result, he went back into the cave. So therefore, the fire or the light that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai had created some element that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, and as a result, that's something that we remember. Now, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, besides for all of the different things that he revealed to us, you'll also note that this day has become quite a largesse on the Jewish calendar. In the chutzlarts, in out-of-town communities, they don't feel it as much, but Lag BaOmer has become like just this massive, massive holiday.
In
Yerushalayim especially, in Meiron especially, half the country goes to Meiron. And actually, the first to have and take issues with it was a serious rabbinical authority, the Chassam Sofer. Moshe Sofer, right in the 1800s, says that he heard that Jews are beginning to flock to Mount Meron, and he opposes it. Why does he oppose it? For one of two reasons. Well, to a certain extent. He has halachic basis to oppose it, and I'd like to discuss the position of the Chassam Sofer, how those who do not support the Chassam Sofer understand why and what the propriety is, and why they go, and why it's such a great day, and try to bring out the very, very fascinating halachic point. That would be a reason that you could suggest, which is, but that's not why the Chassam Sofer said, because at that point, there probably weren't the amount of Jews that were flocking there that there are today. Jews come from Europe, from America, from across the world to Meiron for this day. Now, so specifically hair, I don't, that it says that Arizal brought his son to cut their hair on that day. That's what he says.
Because even people don't grow their hair until 3, they'll cut it at 2.5.
And they'll go until wait to be their Lag BaOmer. So Chassam Sofer says the following thing. He says that from the time that, and we discussed this I think in recent weeks, that Megillas Tainis was annulled. Megillas Tainis was a book that where we kept an annotated and very carefully edited file of Jewish dates and on the calendar that were of major importance, that became legal importance because either it was a special holiday that something took place that wasn't actually created into a Jewish holiday, but it was kept that Jews shouldn't do eulogies on that day, they shouldn't fast on that day. However, the Gemara says, Batla Megillas Tainis, that Megillas Tainis, the list of the things that took place on that day were actually annulled and no longer were they kept. That means we have a journal, we have a list, and you could find a copy in your local Jewish bookstore of Megillas Tainis. It's referred to numerous times throughout Shas. And there are lists of special days, unique things that took place. Included in there, by the way, is Hanukkah. Included in there is Purim. Those are the two dates and days and holidays that exist in Megillas Tainus that we keep contemporarily and that have been kept since Megillas Tainus was actually written. However, the other 30-some-odd days that are listed in there are not kept whatsoever. Now, mind you, the Chazal say that from the time that Megillas Tainus was annulled, no Jewish bezdin or no Jew has the ability to create a legal Jewish holiday. That's something that is inappropriate. You can't create a Jewish holiday. Nobody has the power, the authority, the wherewithal, the stature of a Mordechai, of an Esther, or any of the prophets who created and established holidays. And therefore, Chasam Sofer says, Batla Megillas Tainus. Since Megillas Tainus was Nisbatel, was annulled, you can't create such a holiday. And he says, all eyes are focused on Meron, all eyes are focused on Lag BaOmer, all eyes are focused on the Kevrim Shemrichai. It's something that's inappropriate, it's something that should not be done. And as a result, Chasam Sofer came out very, very passionately, as he did on many issues, and said that it's something that should be abolished, and it's inappropriate, and it's wrong.
Who wrote the Megillah?
The Gemara says, Masechet Shabbos, Hananya ben Chizkia ben Garon. He was a Tana, one of the Tanaim. Who was
right?
Yeah, 700s. Who wrote the Megillah Tainus, and it's been kept. You know, and we have access to it. It's not something that's hidden, it's something that we have access to. Where was the Chasam Sofer coming from? What was the basis of his anger to annul it? And what was the halachic justification of the Chasam Sofer's halachic opinion, which he pens very carefully? It's quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva and Shulchan Aruch, and you're there in Siman Reish Nun Aleph. So the Chasam Sofer bases it upon a Tshuva the Maram al Shakar. The Maram al Shakar was asked, he was a great Sephardic Posek, he was asked about a community that was saved from a particular predicament, a dangerous predicament, and the community wanted to know if they can establish what they called the Purim. They wanted to establish a holiday of their own Purim. In halachic literature, so Purim is referred to as the day Yud Dalet or Tesvav Adar, but it's also referred to as a day that a Jew commemorates or commemorated a particular event that happened to him or her. That is something that we call in halachic literature, establish a Purim. The question that the Maram al-Shakar was asked was whether that was appropriate or not. The Maram al-Shakar has a tshuva, which is quoted by the Pri Chadash and Siman Taf Tzadi Vav, who says that if a family or an individual are saved from something dangerous or of a particular event, it's permitted for them to create a holiday on that day. And as a result, the Maram al-Shakar posited that a community, a town, can celebrate a memorial for something that took place to them, and even if an individual comes from out of town into that town and becomes part of that town, he or she also has to create and keep that day as a holiday. There are no hespedim on that day, no eulogies. You can't fast on that day, and particular halachas are actually kept on that day. If a Jew from that town leaves and goes somewhere else, he also has to keep that holiday a Purim. We have many testimonials of great rabbis throughout the ages who kept particular days. I'll give you a few examples. Sorry?
The end of the Chayadim.
Very good. The end of the Chayadim, Rav Zantzik, at the end of his Sefer Chayadim, actually happens to be in Hilchot Purim, writes that in his day, there was a terrible fire that took over his entire chatzer. His children, most of his children were killed in the fire. A few of his children were saved. And he himself, he says, there was a big rock that fell and tumbled and catapulted him to the floor. He luckily saved. And as a result, many other people throughout the town were killed in that tremendous fire. But as a result, a part of his family being saved that ordinarily should have been killed in that fire, he keeps this day as a memorial, as a testimony, and he says he makes a su'ud on that day, and he calls it a su'udas mitzvah. That's a chay adam. Other famous rabbis who also was the Rambam. The Rambam is quoted by the Shema Gdolim, who writes that the Rambam also kept a particular date on his calendar as a holiday, and that was a date where he found a Sefer Torah that was miyuchas, that was the lineage of the Sefer Torah was able to be followed up until Ezra Sofer. And since the Rambam, upon finding that Sefer Torah, had such a great level of joy and happiness that he was able to find the Sefer Torah miyuchas that was correct and punctuated properly and correctly, all the I's were dotted and the T's were crossed, so, you know, quote-unquote. As a result, the Rambam kept a particular day as a holiday. Others, the Tosfos Yom Tov, for example, who was jailed, wrote an entire sefer called Megillas Eva, not Megillas Eicha, but Megillas Eva, story how he was jailed and how he was luckily escaped and got out of jail. And as a result of leaving jail, the date that he left jail, he created into a holiday. Many of you are familiar, one of the great Lubavitcher Rebbes also, there's a date on Yitzchak Kislev, I think, that all of Chabad keep as a real bona fide yontif. Because he got out of jail on that day. So there are a lot of cases that we find in halacha where Jews actually kept a date on the calendar as a bona fide halachic holiday. The basis for this is actually a Gemara. The Gemara says that Rabbi Lazar Reb Tzadok, who was one of the Amoraim, was a had lineage back to one of the Mishmaros of the Kohanim. One of the Kohanim that kept a certain watch in the Beis HaMikdash, and he knew the date of that particular time when they were watching, and when one year when Tisha B'Av fell out on a Shabbos and was pushed off to a Sunday, there was a Brith Milah, and on that date he only fasted till Chatzos, and then he shaved, and then they did the Brith Milah. And he said the reason for that is, since he was able to figure out that that date particularly was a simcha for him and his family, from here on in, he was able to keep that date as a yomtiv. So therefore, as a result, you do find that there's this ability to keep a holiday for yourself. So if I just quoted the Rambam, the Tosfos Yomtiv, the Chaye Adam, and many others, we don't have time to discuss and mention, kept yomtiv. So how does that fit with everything else that we're saying? The Chassam Sofer, who says that it's something that's prohibited, and he was against creating yomtiv. What's the Chassam Sofer all unnerved about? If creating yomtiv is something that does indeed have halachic precedent, the Chayyadim did it, and others did it, so have the Chassam Sofer come out, you know, swinging, saying that Lag BaOmer is something that's inappropriate. So the Chassam Sofer and the Chayyadim justify the practice the following way. And they say that there's a fundamental difference between the type of yomtiv that you establish depending upon who establishes it. And they say the following, that when it's permitted, and the situations that we just mentioned, the Rambam, the Tosos, Yom Tov, the Chaye Adam, and others, those are individuals who had a particular event that took place to them, and they're memorializing it. Therefore, as an individual, or as a community, locale, they are able to create a holiday, and they should keep the L'dorei Dor. So much so that a tshuva in Rav Ozner, Zechon Levracha, he mentions that anybody today who can find their lineage that goes back to the Tosfos Yom Tov who kept this holiday, they also are, bound to keep that day. They shouldn't say Tachman on that day. They shouldn't do a Spedim on that day. And that's part of the Tosfos Yom Tov. He created that for his family and for time immemorial for all of his descendants. So therefore, the Chassam Sofer and the Chaye Adam both say that the ability that one has to create a Yom Tov is only if you survived a personal tragedy, if you overcome something great, or if you're memorializing something in your life, then you could create a Yom Tov. But if it's for all of Klal Yisrael, creating a Simcha, or a day, a holiday, or declaring a legal holiday for the Jewish people, that's something that can't happen. And therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, since Lag BaOmer has become a date that all Jews are looking to, and that he says, Eine Kolam, the Tel Talpios Bemiron, everybody, the entire community, all Jews are looking at hundreds of thousands, almost prophetic, that the Chassam Sofer knew what would take place. We're looking and we're going and we're flocking toward Meiron. That's what the Chassam Sofer says is inappropriate. And the reason the Chaye Adam and others supported the practice of Yom Tov, or creating a legal Yom Tov, was because that was on a local level. But something that happens on a mass level, that those people have taken issue with. That was the Chassam Sofer's issue, and he's really the primary opposition to Lag BaOmer. There is nobody else who took such a strong stand historically like the Chassam Sofer, not before him, and I haven't seen many oppose the practice of going to Meiron post the Chassam Sofer as well. It's become very popular, and like many easy customs, it becomes fun, and people like doing it. But in terms of a halakhic practice, this was the basis for the Chassam Sofer. The Pri Chadash, who I mentioned before, argues on the position of the Maram al-Shaker, and he says that nobody is permitted to create even a independent holiday post the bittul, the knowing of Megillas Tainus. So there you have it. That's the basis for the Chassam Sofer, based upon this argument between the Maram al-Shaker and the Pri Chadash. The reason that the holiday and the day of Lag BaOmer has become supported, and that many have seemed to think that it is a holiday that you can't oppose, is because of Rav Shimon ben Rechai. There is a great level of kavod that's given to Shimon Chaim more than most Tanaim or Amoraim. And the question that some have, this is the Shalom Eshev, Rabbi Nathanson has a tshuva about it, and he says, how can it be that they're partying on this day? It doesn't make sense. That's not common in Jewish law. Most of the Beis Yosef says that many of the practice actually pass on the Yahrzeit site. So how can it be that you're going, you're singing, you're dancing, you're eating. You go there today, the Sfaradim, they go, they shecht. They take animals and they shecht them. They put them on. It's become, you take a look. You can watch, I'm sure you can see something online, a video. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to even describe. I can't begin to even describe to you what it looks like. It's a mob scene, singing, it's something out of this world. So that doesn't seem to fit with the Yahrzeit. So the Shalom Eshev seems to say that Rav Shimon Chai was different, because Rav Shimon Chai left behind the son, Rabbi Elazar, who was similar in stature to him. And since Moshe didn't leave behind somebody in stature like him, or other great Rabbanim didn't leave behind somebody in stature similar to their deceased, therefore, Rabbi Elazar sort of kept the parallel of Rav Shimon Chai, and as a result, that's why it's become a simcha. It's a little bit hard to swallow. I agree with you, but that's the way the Shalom Eshev tried to be miyashik.
That seems
a
stretch.
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit.
That doesn't seem very Jewish.
So that is the basis. It is primarily a Sephardic and a Hasidic custom, there's no question about it. But nonetheless, many Ashkenazim are ready today. The Sam Sofer was Hungarian, and so certainly the Hungarians don't follow but many of us don't follow all the chumras and the kulos of the Sam Sofer, but it is, you have to recognize that it is. Now, this also has somewhat of a contemporary basis to it also. Much of the debate, the halachic debate, not the political debate, that surrounds Yom HaTzma'ut, stems to this issue, the halachic issues. To say halal, not to say halal. To say tachna, not to say tachna, is actually based upon this Chassam Sofer, and is based upon the arguments between the Maram al Shakar and the Pri Chadash. Establishing a holiday. Who has the right to establish a holiday? Can you establish a holiday? At what time can you establish a holiday? One rabbi, two rabbis, in Eretz Yisrael, not in Eretz Yisrael. Is it a legal holiday? Is it a religious holiday? What is it? This is the halachic debate that surrounds Yom HaTzmur contemporarily. Rav Ovadia Yosef is a very famous tshuva in Yabi Omer, in the later volumes of Yabi Omer, where he goes through the issue and he quotes the machlokas between the Pri Chadash and the Maram al-Shaker. He goes through many of the classic sources that I just mentioned on the topic. He is not a proponent of saying halal with a bracha for that reason, that he does not think that you could create a Yom Tov on a national level, similar to what the Chassam Sofer says. And then he deals primarily with this issue of creating Yom Tov. Can you create a Yom Tov? Can you not create a Yom Tov? But just so you understand that the issue of Yom HaTzmut is not simply just a political one, but there really is much, much halachic analysis and background that goes into it. But it comes down to, what it really boils down, is who can create a Yom Tov? Is it a national Yom Tov? Is it not a national Yom Tov? And who has the ability that sort of surrounds this issue? Maybe we'll cut it here for tonight.